It's a real pity that churches can't be the place where people get help for the things that they really need help for. When they really identify that they've got a big issue in their life that needs some fixing, they've got to go someplace where they can be anonymous, because I wouldn't want my church friends to know I had this problem. We're talking money again, and this week we are talking about how church can be a shame buster. I'm Greg Meyer.
I'm Melissa Locke.
And I'm Chris Tripolino.
We got a great note on our communication cards this week. One of the kids was talking to their grandma, and here's what it said. Grandma says something about her church. Kid, you go to church, Grandma? Grandma, yes. Kid, do you talk about God and Jesus? Grandma, yes. Is that what you talk about at church? Kid, no, we're done with that now. Now we're talking about money.
Like most banks.
But yeah, church as a place to talk about money. I really love that we're making it a normal thing, even for our kids.
Yeah, that's huge. Being able to start those conversations in those early years.
Just think, if you're a five-year-old like this kid and you realize that this place where you talk about God and Jesus is a place where you talk about money, and as a five-year-old maybe couldn't put all those connections together, but nonetheless was learning how to talk about these things as if these are real-life issues I need to learn about, and guess what? I don't have shame about. Mm-hmm. That could be pretty powerful.
But it is harder for adults.
It is harder for adults. We have been loaded with all kinds of stuff. Our money runs deep with emotion, which means we have to work pretty hard to be communities that can truly be helpful for this. We talked about earlier how money is a huge spiritual issue in our lives. And we might think, no, money is just, that's a fiscal matter. That's not a spiritual matter. No, if we aren't really in control of our money, if our money is an expression of our values, then it really starts controlling who we are. And God doesn't have a chance to do that. So we as communities really need to find ways that we can help our people get out from underneath the boot of money problems, and these happen on all ends of the spectrum, and really start using their money as a way to empower their lives so that they realize, this is how I can be an agent of God's love in the world.
But if that's not natural for us as communities, I mean, how do we start breaking down? How do we start busting the shame?
Yeah, well, I remember reading I'm pretty sure it was Brené Brown who said, we all have it, and just saying that is a good starting. Mm-hmm. When the shame comes out into the light, it loses its power.
Everybody does have issues with money. So as the preacher, one of my jobs to free people from all the shame around money so that we can really talk about it and we can seek the help that we need from each other is to get everybody a little bit dirty. I look at my own money situation, I realize, gee, I'm not squeaky clean on this, and I look at these other people and I think they are, mm-hmm. Well, I'll never get myself squeaky clean because there is no such thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, money is way too complicated. I don't care how much you make and how long you've worked at it. It just has too much pull in our lives and it's such a compromised part of life. So rather than trying to get everybody looking like they're clean, I just try to get everybody a little bit dirty. Mm-hmm. In other words, expose how difficult it is, even if you have a lot of money, to not be living up to what the ideal of having a lot of money means for you. Mm-hmm. And that always is something to be realized. For instance, it's easy to see how a person that isn't making ends meet, how their expenses are greater than their income and so on, how that person is out of control with their money. But it isn't so obvious how a person who makes enough money that they just really don't have to worry. They don't have to monitor what they buy and stuff like that because they just always have enough and there's always something left over and it just kind of keeps accumulating. Well, that person, yeah, it probably isn't going to get in trouble with their bank. But in terms of how we understand ourselves as people of faith and what our relationship to God and others is all about, is that person being responsible? I mean, all that excess money, cushioning them from having to make any hard decisions about life and cushioning them from having to think about, well, why do I have this money? Is it to be employed to help other people and to be given that way? I mean, I don't know that person is any less out of control. So let's spread the dirt around, and we can look around the room, and rather than making everybody feel guilty, we just all realize, oh, okay, this isn't about shame or guilt. It's just about realizing that this is tough stuff, and we all have places to work. So can we acknowledge that, and can we all start working?
And I really loved how you kind of shifted it to it's a get-to. So it's not only are we being responsible, but are we using the opportunity we have with whatever we have?
Yeah.
Well, that's the promise. I mean, it just isn't that God wants us to be more generous with our money or something. I mean, God wants us to, but it's not just so that other people can benefit from that money, for instance, but it's because what we experience from the transformational power of living in gratitude and living in generosity. And that is just so key. And it's one of the things we start discovering when we get out of the shame game and we start getting the help and we start realizing that what our relationship with money can look like. So in your church community, how do you create a non-shame culture around difficult, emotionally laden issues like money? I mean, that's one of the big questions.
Well, I think we've got three big things going for us as a community. I would say those are being willing to trudge into this this money conversation as a whole community to bring that to the table. The second is really the group infrastructure that we have, having groups of people get together regularly to discuss all this stuff. And for them, they've got an excuse now that we've been talking about money for the last 3 weeks, to really be digging into that together as a group and to be supporting each other and helping each other. And the third thing is the free financial coaches that we offer. And, you know, for me, all three of those things have proven to be powerful in terms of my family getting our financial picture together, as well as the emotional and relational kind of picture, like letting us be whole people that are dirty, yeah. You know?
And you have to be intentional on this. For instance, in Group Life, which is our group's program, having a group that's aware of and thinking about these financial issues, but it's not like, well, one person has a financial problem here, and now we're all going to try to fix that. But the group would say, no, you know, we're shame busters, right? Mm-hmm. We all have financial fish to fry. Yeah. And let's all share. Let's all have a goal. See, it isn't a matter of I've got to share all of my dirty laundry. I don't have to tell you how much debt I have. I mean, the stuff that's a little too close to home, but can I share my goal? Mm-hmm. And we all support each other on the goal and problem solve on the goal when we're having difficulty with it.
I think one of the things we can do is applaud honesty when we're willing to admit mm-hmm. with each other, like, shoot, I told you that was my goal and I haven't even thought about it since we last talked. Let's start again.
I mean, to me, that's a high five around the group. Right. You brought that back here. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is an enormous step, and we want to applaud you for that.
And plus, we all now are being asked to revisit our goals. Like, Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your honesty. Let's do this. I think it's a really tangible kind of hope mm-hmm. that we can give each other.
So churches are the best place to bust the shame and to make progress. And well, people say, wasn't that better done with a financial counselor? Well, that's... One is you don't really need that level of professionalism, okay? If it gets to you have to figure out some things about investments or your mortgage or you need some legal help or tax help, okay, for that component, go see the expert. But for just like figuring out the dynamics of you and your significant other that you're working this out with or working out a budget or a kind of a get out of unsecured debt plan, financial coaches can do that pretty easily. I mean, that's not rocket science. You just need that third party to do it. It's just a great place to do it because you've got these people here, all right? You've got people that are sharing the shame or the lack of shame with each other. And you can go to the great weekend retreat where the person flies in from out of town who is all squeaky clean and tells you what to do, and then they go do their squeaky clean thing at another city. You know, and does that really help? I mean, what if you were with your own community? Everybody's trying to grow on this. Everybody's trying to, you know, get God first and money somewhere well back behind all that. And the people that were helping you learn this are there week in and week out with you. Your mm-hmm. group, which is always facing challenges and there's uphill and downhill times, but you're there together every week, every month, every year. You're revisiting these conversations because you know, I heard it once, but I need to hear it again. In fact, boy, I can tell you that I'm the guy who's preached about this quite a few times over the last 10 years. And every time I'm working on another message, I go, oh, geez, yeah, that's right. I mean, this mm-hmm. is so important for me. I just think we are the perfect context. And who else can talk about all of these issues from the mathematical, strategic kind of side, which is totally fine for us, to the interpersonal aspects mm-hmm. and the in-person mm-hmm. personal aspects, but also from the real value-oriented, the God side of the whole question of what does money really mean to me? What is the spiritual aspect of this? And why would I want to do some of these bigger picture things with my money and my wealth and my material possessions?
And couldn't it mean more than just dollars and cents, just ones and zeros? Couldn't this be just another tool that gets leveraged to be reshaping our world, to make beauty and to make community? I think that we can go out and we can look for those opportunities to encourage and empower people to be vulnerable, to be honest about these things. That's what we need as communities.
Right, and the way that you are going to create that kind of culture, that shame-free culture where you don't need to be anonymous to get help with stuff, but you can actually turn to these people you love, is by being the one who shares and is vulnerable first. It doesn't happen because you tell everyone else that they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And that's what leadership is, right? Leadership is being the one who goes first.
Go first.
Well, let us know how you bust some shame this week around your own money issues. Let us know how someone helps you bust it. And thanks for being shame busters with us, whether it's here in Minneapolis or around the world. We like being part of this with all of you.
Love to hear your stories. You can always be in touch with us at info@jacobs-well.net, or you can find us on Facebook as Jacobs Well Minneapolis, or just leave notes right here on this podcast, and we'll be talking with you again soon.